Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 328.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 328. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of jazzpianoschool.com. Thank you so much for being here. I've got a great episode for you. This is going to be a continuation episode, essentially part two of what Sterling delivered to you last week. Sterling Koza, one of the amazing educators on the Jazz Piano School staff. And he was talking about modern jazz, to sum it up, really. And if you haven't checked that episode out, go back and do that. We got a lot of great feedback from people on that. If you haven't picked up the practice materials and the chord voicings for what he's going over, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast327. This is podcast 328. So again, this is going to be part two, and he's going to be expanding upon what he did in the last podcast. So you want to go check that out for sure. If you are not following our socials, definitely go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool, and you can follow all the video lessons and podcasts we do on YouTube, my live streams and things like that. Go to jazzpianoschool.com to check out all the other free education we have. I play at Kazmic every year. I'm part of California Music Educators Conference, which is a really cool thing. And it takes educators and students from all over the state of California. I live in California. And it's a conference, a music educators conference. And they select all state bands, like jazz bands, vocal jazz groups, and symphonic bands, and all sorts of stuff. And it's so awesome. It's so much fun. And I played at that, and I rehearsed. I was actually accompanying the vocal jazz group. Really, really fun. And it was just such an awesome time. I mean, like, I was blown away. Like, the skill level of these students, like, playing in these bands was just absolutely nuts. It was, like, I'm speechless. Like, I heard a middle school band that was like as good as some college bands I've heard, or even like professional bands. And, you know, if you get a chance, I mean, I'm not sure if they do this in every state. I don't remember, because I grew up in Boston. I don't remember them doing this in Massachusetts, actually. But if you get a chance to go to one of these, you can actually go and listen to the concerts. You totally should, because it's absolutely fantastic. And it's like, hearing these students is mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. They're just so good. The level of musicianship these days at such a young age is just, I don't know, it just gives me hope. It's inspiring. It's incredible. So I love music education, obviously. I mean, like, I've committed my life to Jazz Piano School and educating others in jazz piano and jazz. I love jazz. I just love everything about it. I love educating students. I love creating hope within students who want to learn this great music, and who have had rough experiences in jazz and learning jazz. And that's what I really love doing. I mean, I built Jazz Piano School because I had a rough experience and I wanted to help others as much as possible. Like, it doesn't have to be hard, and it doesn't have to be confusing. And that's exactly why I built Jazz Piano School. That's exactly why I do this podcast, to, you know, inform others out there. Anyway, I was accompanying the vocal jazz group. The leader of the group was the great Kim Nazarian from New York Voices. If you haven't heard of the New York Voices, well, you should definitely go check them out. They're one of the most famous unbelievable vocal jazz groups in history, and she is absolutely just in like one of the leaders in vocal jazz and just amazing vocalist. So definitely go check them out. She was a pleasure to work with, a pleasure to play for and accompany the students. So again, the students were kind of selected through the entire state based on some auditions, and you get to get in and then join this group, and it's from all over California, and then you perform at the end of the like 3 days, you know, of rehearsals. We had like 3 days of 9-hour rehearsals, you know, playing through the music that Kim selected. Super, super awesome experience. And every year they have a new leader, instructor come in. And yeah, anyway, I just had to share that. I think it's so inspiring that, you know, students of all ages, not just like youth, but even, you know, adults that join my live programs, that are joining Jazz Piano School, the membership, or listening to my podcast or learning from me on YouTube. I think it's so wonderful that I feel proud to be delivering education and giving hope and inspiration to students, adults, everybody, that to pursue this great music, to not let it die, to really get into the music, to overcome difficult times, plateaus, roadblocks, and push through and just keep going at it. Because trust me, it's not, it's a lifelong pursuit. It really is. No matter who you are, if you're Bill Evans, right? I remember hearing Bill Evans say he was insecure about his solo piano performance, and this was way late in his career when he was just displaying the most brilliant solo piano you had ever heard, pushing the boundaries of anything ever heard before. So no matter what type of artist you are, whoever you are, what level you get to, no matter what, you'll always feel like there's more to learn. And that's true, and there is. That's the great thing about this music. So you really can't say, oh, okay, I've reached a level at any point where you're like, okay, I know everything now. That's it. I can just leave this pursuit, right? It's an ongoing pursuit for the rest of your life, but that's the beauty of it. It gives back to you for the rest of your life. And that's truly why I think music is one of the most amazing investments you can ever make in the pursuit of that, because it gives you purpose in life. And it's so rewarding. It's fulfilling. Anyway, I could go on forever. But so it's always a wonderful experience. I always come off that, again, that was last week. I always come off that feeling kind of like a musical high, you know, my endorphins are going crazy. I'm just on cloud nine, loving all the music you hear, you know, and it's all in a hotel and you get to move to different conference rooms and hear and listen to the other groups and things like that. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I love what I do, and this is so awesome. So anyway, Sterling has an amazing episode coming at you. We are in the midst of a new accelerator program, and I am kind of conjuring and developing a live program that might be accessible year-round to students. Now, the membership is always available. You can join jazzpianoschool.com membership by just going to jazzpianoschool.com, clicking on membership, and you can join the self-study membership with the community and all the self-study courses we have, the main course curriculum, over 700 videos, et cetera, et cetera. You can always join that. It's always open, right? And if you want to buy any of the courses, you can go do that. But this live program has been amazing. I've run a lot of iterations of this now. And when I first ran it, I had no idea kind of like what I was getting into. But what I've seen is that the results that we're able to deliver to students, because we're essentially, you're getting customized lesson plans every week. There's full accountability, full teaching, full interaction with myself and my staff. I mean, you know, you can't help but make progress. Like, you, no matter what, if you just show up, you're gonna be better than you were before, you know? And it's helpful to have guides and mentors and educators leading you in the direction you need. Because when you go into JPS, you know, it's all self-study courses, meaning you watch the videos I filmed, you look at the practice materials, and you kind of do it yourself. Now, you can clearly ask myself questions or my staff or the community. It's just not the same, though. You're not interacting with me live on Zoom. You're not interacting with custom lesson plans based on your playing every single week and video review based on the videos you submit. So I really want to bring the live program aspect to as many people as possible, because I know it changes lives. It literally transforms your playing very, very quickly. It's the fastest way. It's the fastest product that I have available through Jazz Piano School to give you the fastest amount of results, right? And so because of that, I want to make it available almost year round, you know, and I'm toying with the idea because I just want everyone to sign up. I want everyone to be able to sign up when they want and just take advantage of this for as long as possible. So anyway, just kind of sharing my thoughts right now about that. And yeah, I think that's it. I don't really have much more for you. This is going to be a great episode. Sterling's obviously a brilliant educator. Graduated with his master's from Manhattan School of Music last year, doing amazing things, playing with Benny Banak, going on tour, loves jazz, great educator. So with that being said, definitely make sure to go back and listen to the previous podcast because you'll want to know that information before you got into this one. But, you know, you can do this one first, too, and then go back. It doesn't really matter. If you've already started on this one, then just stay with this one. It's no problem. Okay, so here we go.
Hey everybody, Sterling here. I'm back with another podcast lesson for the only modern jazz chord that you'll need. Last time we checked out minor 11th voicings with three different inversions to give you all kinds of different sounds to access. So today I'm back with another version of this chord with some more applications that you can use just to kind of expand your harmonic vocabulary and give you more tools to work with. So just to review, in case you missed the last episode, we had the minor 11th chord and we were taking it down in minor thirds and around the circle of fourths. So already, you know, with each of those inversions, we've got three different versions of that chord around 12 keys. That's 36 chords, you know, plus the minor 11ths. You know, we're adding all types of different possible combinations. But that's still with the same root. So I think I might have just given it away. but we're going to expand our possibilities with this chord shape by, you guessed it, changing the root. So before we had this beautiful shape of the fourth, you know, the third and the fourth, or the minor 11th, with the ninth on top. It ends up looking something like a triad with an added note, right? So, given that this voicing is fairly diatonic, meaning that it works in the context of like a major chord, that means that we can reharmonize that major chord by adding some different options for the roots. So, let's just take this shape, for example, since it's all white keys. That tends to work really well just for discovering different options. We have the D on the bottom, D minor 11th, and let's just experiment with what this chord will sound like with different roots. So the F ends up sounding really nice. The engine's calling it F major 7 sus 2. So you'll notice that there's no third in this voicing, which gives it like a really open characteristic. A lot of guitar players tend to like this sound. This kind of reminds me of Pat Metheny a little bit. So we can transpose this chord a little bit into some different keys. And remember, there's no third in this voicing. So that's a really nice open sound that you can use. Getting back to our original chord with all white keys, we had D minor 11, now we have F. Let's try another one, maybe C. This is a really open sound as well. We have the third this time, and we're adding a fourth. So we'd call this one C add 4 or C add 11. I tend to really like having the root on top for this chord so that the crunchy interval is right in the middle. So it ends up sounding really open, and you know, this chord is used a lot in maybe like more new age music, maybe even like some contemporary Christian music. You know, you hear this used because it has like a really peaceful characteristic, I think. So that's a really nice option. Let's go back to our original chord. Now we have D, F, and C. Let's try a couple more. Let's try A. Ooh, now this is a modern jazz chord. You'll hear cats like Kurt Rosenwinkel playing this chord a lot. A lot of guitar players like this chord. Lage Lund, maybe Galad Hexelman are some guitar players that come to mind. I think Lyle Mays used to compose with this chord quite a bit. It was really popular in the 1980s. Michael Brecker certainly used this chord a lot. And, you know, going all the way up to more modern musicians. So this chord we would call, this engine says F major 9 over A, which is technically correct. I would refer to this chord as an A, you could call it an A minor 7 with a flat 13, which is another option. It really depends on how this chord functions, right? It's just an A minor 7 you can think of with an added note. But if it's, for example, if it's an F chord going to B flat, this is really going to function in the key of F. You know, so it's no longer really an A minor chord. It's more like an F chord over the root of A, you know, over the third, the different root, going to B flat. So the context is really important for this chord, but I tend to think of it like a really open F major chord with the A in the root, which is kind of cool. But it could also be a little darker, more of a minor flat 13 sound, depending on how you use it. So we want to practice all the inversions of this chord, just to get used to using it in different settings. And you can find these inversions in the practice materials. So I would take that through all four, you know, all 12 keys, maybe the circle of fourths, maybe going down to minor thirds or whole steps, something like that. So let's see, what are we up to? We've got D minor 11, F major add 2, C major add 4, and then A minor 7 flat 13, also known as F over A, F add 9 over A. Now, the next one we can do is G. And this engine's saying C add 11 over G. I kind of hear this more as a G7 sus chord, because we've got the 7th, and we've got some upper extensions. That's a really nice open sus chord, which could go to G13 and resolve to C, or resolve to a different chord, for example. So lots of different options there, but the point is, this chord is really open. So you want to try all those different inversions of that chord, and that'll give you a lot of different sounds to play with. All right, so at this point we have 6 variations on this chord simply by changing the root and then trying all the possible, you know, keys. If we did all 6 root choices with 12 keys, now we're talking about 72 different chords to choose from. So that can give you a lot of options to compose with. Ones that we didn't cover. B. Not my favorite. You'd have to convince me pretty hard to to get this chord to work. It's pretty dissonant, so I'd probably avoid this one. The A is really nice, G is nice, F is nice, E. That one, I'm not so sure. It'd be kind of like a Phrygian kind of vibe. You could make it work. You know, it's a little less dissonant than the B. So, you know, get back to me. Send me a composition with this chord, and then I'm convinced, you know? But it's probably a little more difficult to make this one work. The D was the one we started with, and C is a nice little home base, you know? So there's six variations that you can play with. So we're gonna have practice materials with all those listed, and you can practice different inversions of these chords, different progressions, different combinations, and that should give you a lot to work with. Honorable mentions. You'll notice that we didn't do any chromatic notes. So there's a couple that tend to work nicely. We can do B flat, and it ends up being some type of, you know, C over B flat chord with an added 4. You could say C add 4 over B flat, which is nice. There's no 3rd or 7th in this voicing, so we wouldn't really call it a major 7 sharp 11 because we're missing some important chord tones. But it's an interesting chord. Next, A flat. You hear Maria Schneider use this chord a lot in her arranging. A lot of tension in this chord because we've got a major 7th, a major 6th, and a minor 6th, or an augmented 5th. This would be, this says F minor major over A flat, but it's really more like A flat augmented, you know, with a major 7th. You could say augmented major 7th, or major 7 sharp 5, add 6, something like that. G flat, nope, not a fan. And then E flat, not a huge fan, but maybe could potentially work. There is a such thing as a, you know, a major 7 with a flat 9, but without the major 7 doesn't really work, so I would avoid that one. No E flat. Now D flat, that's a nice chord. You might have heard this one on the intro. There's a guitarist and pianist, multi-instrumentalist by the name of Ralph Towner, who used this chord a lot, which he had a band called Oregon, and I believe there's a song called Distant Hills, which uses this chord. And this is a great voicing for major 7 sharp 9. Woo! Juicy. Major 7 sharp 9 sharp 11. So it's like our C major voicing, but just with the flat 2 in the bass. Real crunchy because you get this major 7th interval, and then you get another major 7th interval. So two different sets of major 7ths. We've got the root, 3rd, sharp 11, 7th, and sharp 9. So a very colorful chord. All the inversions sound beautiful. So that's a really nice one to try. So that's kind of the bonus round. We get those extra chromatic voicings. We had all 6 diatonic choices, and then we had 3 chromatic choices, B flat, A flat, and D flat. So that's sort of the bonus round. That gives you 9 different voicings to choose from with just this one shape. So it really truly is the only modern jazz chord that you'll need. You could write a whole album using only this chord and it would still sound really interesting. So have fun with that one. Leave us some comments down below. You know, let us know what you come up with, if you have any questions or any other discoveries. We'd love to hear from you. So happy practicing, and can't wait to hear what you create. See you next time.